Ooh.
You shaking it, or are you just you're just dropping it?
It's like a choose your own adventure. Look, there's not like a right way or a wrong way.
All right, we have Drew Goldsmith in the house, and he brought people always bring their instruments over here, which is great. I really do encourage that. So we have Drew because he's become one of the most consistent yoga teachers in Miami, and that is something to learn from. So thanks for coming over to the pod, Drew. Welcome. So how long have you been in Miami for?
About 3 years, and I don't think I'm ever leaving. I love it here. How long have you been here?
I've been here almost 5 years. So what I'll say is you obviously have taken on like a consistency in your yoga that, you know, a lot of people in the city have yoga degrees. I have a yoga degree. But your level of consistency, and that's always something underneath that, because there's probably a reason why you're passionate about it. So that's where, you know, you teach, so everyone knows, Drew teaches classes at Margaret Pace, Monday nights at 7, Wednesday morning.
And Buddha Bear Wellness.
Buddha Bear Wellness.
Buddha Bear Wellness.
And, you know, that brand there, it's free yoga. So, you know, it's very much a good thing for the community. And it's actually one of the best parks on this side of the beach. So, yeah, so that's growing. And we'll talk about maybe how that started, right? How that idea came from there to do that and then start doing retreats and all fun stuff like that. Where were you originally born, Drew?
Boston, and that's why I think I appreciate Miami more. There's no snow down here. Where are you from?
I was born in Texas, and then I lived in a lot of places like Boston, San Francisco, went to Chicago for a little while. But yeah, honestly, ever since I saw Miami, it was kind of like love at first sight. So I was just like...
Agreed.
It actually healed me. Funny enough, I don't know if I've told this story. Like, it actually healed me from a pinched nerve like that I had from when I went to Hawaii. I like traveled way too much one time, and I got a pinched nerve. And then it was really Miami and like Lion's Mane that like kind of saved me there, and a chiropractor. But the Miami was like the heat that I needed, you know, to kind of like... And then I kind of found nirvana in a way. Like, I really spaced out. So basically you were born. All right. So
there's no editing here, bro.
So you're alive, bro. You have to be learning to deal with it. But basically that's not about me. So your time there and, what did you study to become like someone who does yoga teaching now? What was your path in life?
So I never really thought I would do yoga. I always kind of made fun of yoga, but I always worked out and exercised and enjoyed the gym. And I also was like very kind of like social and spiritual and like this kind of like married the two, where you're able to kind of like have these friendships and, you know, do these different events and at the same time like exercise, and it's like health and wellness. So when I found yoga... or I like to say yoga found me, it was just like a click. Like I felt like it made sense where not only you're able to kind of be goofy and be silly and like, but it's like in this like accepting space that everyone's really like trying to better themselves, and it motivates you to better yourself. So as much as I kind of like made fun of yoga thinking like, oh, it's, you know, it's whatever, it's for old people or... It's kind of silly. I was very humbled. And I remember my first class, not only was it very physically hard, I could barely do the first pose. It was just like stand on one foot, and I couldn't do it after a minute. Like I was wobbling, and yet there were people next to me just breathing and focused, and they could have done it for 20 minutes. And so that was very humbling, the physical aspect, but then the mental side of it is really where I kind of fell in love with it, because the teacher at least that I took, I was very lucky. It was a guide teacher first, so it was almost an accepting space where when you think yoga traditionally, it's kind of a female, you know, dominated area. And now I think more and more men are getting into it. And I remember the teacher was this guy just like yelling and screaming, and he was like jacked and like a bodybuilder and like not someone you would think traditionally who would do yoga. And he was up there. Yeah, again, it was physically hard, but like mentally he was like, what are we going to do today? Are you going to be average? Are you going to be above average? you get like, you know, 365 days a year, one day's got to be the best, or one day you maybe like try like the hardest out of all those days, like which day is it going to be? Like this kind of just like hippy dippy talk in the moment. But then when I left and like a day later, I kind of found myself being like, all right, yeah, let's try a little bit harder. Like I like this. So I did it every day for 3 years straight. Yoga every damn day was the hashtag.
That was like your social media? Like
hashtag? No, there's like a big following. There's a lot of people that have done it for years. Yoga every damn day is the hashtag. But I did it for 3 years and it was great. It was amazing. And I fell in love with the practice and it's great. Yeah, that's how I met you, right? At my yoga class. Isn't that where we originally connected?
Your yoga, yeah. I went to your yoga, man. I remember you talking a lot about like some different synchronicities that happened to you recently. And that was like nice, just like we were just listening to you, you know, tell stories a bit. And, you know, that's actually one, just to like maybe speed ahead, but that's like something that a lot of people quite like wonder is how do you keep it interesting for your regulars, right? So that it's always...
Buddha, stop barking.
Buddha's a regular over there, yeah. So...
No, shh.
Buddha. So you branded your whole thing about this Buddha bear. So you want to introduce him? Like, bring him to the camera.
This is Buddha.
The Buddha.
The company's named after the Buddha.
Oh, shit, we just kissed.
Right, yeah, it's okay. She likes podcasters. So my dog Buddha kind of represents what the brand is about, like this big, fierce pit bull, right? This strong, strong pit bull, but yet is full of love. And, you know, like you don't mess with her, she don't mess with you. And she's about karma.
All right.
And I think that's what, you know, a lot of these practices are. Come on, let's...
What do you think Buddha thinks of meditation?
I think she loves it. She chills next to me and she's a great representation. She really just like sleeps in class and you see her and you think she's this like big scary dog, but really she comes up wagging her tail and giving you kisses. And that kind of from there, I made the bear something different. I was going to do her face or a dog, but I thought people would think it's either dog walkers or puppy yoga or just not look at it versus
right.
I have a bear again doing like a meditative pose.
You get the cat lovers and the dog lovers.
You can tell.
Like, you've been smart. You
see it. It's like, oh, okay, that's something different. It's like a bear doing yoga. So it's like this big powerful bear that can rip your face off, but at the same time, you know, give you a bear hug. It's like how you kind of like.
Can you invent a yoga pose like the bear? Is there one called the bear?
I don't think that's a good idea.
It's Hindu. The Hindus would never have named anything after bears. Probably not.
Well, mine's not really traditional yoga.
There could be bears in India. I think I maybe saw something about like an Eastern bear.
Are there bears in India?
We got to pull in our like Rogan AI or something. Rogan AI. We need to, like, have Alexa.
Alexa, are there bears in?
Yeah. In India. Anyways, but the all right.
are there
bears in India?
That's
probably
amazing.
But what I'm saying is I think you can invent that. That'd be your signature pose. So I think, have you ever created a pose before? Alexa, stop. have you ever created a pose?
On some music.
Or called it something new. Maybe, you know, there's a lot of possibilities in yoga.
No, I don't necessarily invent pose. Like, I don't do traditional yoga. What I do is, like, so I respect the practice. Like, it's like a certain poses that, like, somebody that is way smarter than I came up with. And there's definitely different lineages that, like, came to America. And where I was trained is, like, one way versus somebody trained in, like, India or a different part of the world. But yoga itself are these like basic principles and these basic poses, whether you look at Ashtanga or Vinyasa flow or power or whatever, there's different versions, like many paths, but one truth kind of. And, you know, it's not necessarily a religion, but it's more spiritual guidance. I feel that it's like these basic principles that you live by, like I referred to earlier, like just karma, and like do good in the world and good will come back to you, like that kind of thing. You do bad, you're not necessarily, you know, good things will happen. So with that being said, it's like that to me, it's not really religion. It's like that's just basic human principles, like just be a good person and like good things will happen. So again, that's kind of like when through my trainings, like that's really what I pulled from it. Like, yeah, there's definitely different, a lot of physical ways to do it. Like Ashtanga I referenced, that's like the same, I forget, it's like 27 or like 30 poses, like the same 30 poses you do over and over again every day. And some people swear by it. I like more vinyasa flow, where it's like you mix it up, you play some music, it's like a different series and variations of poses that you can kind of put together as the teacher. And I don't know, it gives you like a little bit more freedom to like get beginners into the class. I can like make the class harder or I can make it easier. And in the park, like I do, there's all these beginners that come. So it's great to be able to kind of intro a lot of men into this world, and like just like people that have never done yoga in general, boy and girl, just being able to show them like it's just stretching, you know.
It doesn't have to be that scary. Yeah, it's not. I think what makes it scary is when the yogas are like an hour and a half or something, right, or excessively long. But I think, you know, it's tough. I think for beginners, it could be nice to offer more like half hour classes, where it's like efficient stretching. I mean, maybe there's some yoga sets like that, but I agree. The length is what scares some people. And then sometimes just sitting quiet and, you know, making your brain positive is hard for some people, you know. It's easy to have anxiety when you're sitting down and waiting in a social gathering area, right? So for anxious people, you need to be eased into yoga, you know. But once you find that peace and stillness, it's like, becomes like an addiction, you know. You just want to like rest and like peace, you know?
Yeah, and you definitely get like the same questions or... Well, it's funny, like if someone came up to me and was like, hey, park yoga, it's free, come check it out. Like, I'd be like, sure, I'll check that out. But I think a lot of people, or some people, I don't take offense to it, or if I mention it, they're just like, oh, no, I don't like yoga, or I don't do yoga. And I never really understand that. It's like, yeah, like, I'm not saying you got to go and be in, like, a Buddhist temple somewhere in, like, Nepal, but, like, it's just stretching. Like, there's, again, different levels and different kind of classes. And you're being flexible in both the body and the mind. And like both, you know, the first test of that is being flexible of like, oh, you don't really like something? Like, let's try it. And I tell this story in my class. It's my avocado cheeseburger story. So I was out to eat a couple months ago and I ordered a burger and the waitress was like, oh, you should add avocado to that. I'm like, oh, that sounds gross. Like, I don't really, like, I like guac, but I don't know, just raw avocado in my burger. I wasn't about it. And she like doubled down and was like, you should 100% put avocado on your burger.
Dude, I'm actually, nah. I save avocado for like good tacos or something.
Right, no.
Like, so for me, a cheeseburger is like sacred for me, like the simplicity sometimes of it. You know?
So she doubled down. She's like, listen, bro, add avocado to your cheeseburger. So I was like, all right. So she brought it and guess what? It was like one of the best things I've ever had in my life. And like, she was right. And so I left that lunch, like, it was just so good. I'm thinking about it as I'm driving home and I'm like, what else am I saying no to? Like, what am I saying I won't like, or, oh, this isn't for me, or whatever. Like, I can't do this. And then you like try it and it's like, oh, that was actually pretty good. Like, or I like it. It reminds me of, like a party that, like, growing up, like sometimes college or whatever, you're like, I don't really want to go out tonight. I don't want to go to this party. And then you end up going and it's like you meet someone, you have a crazy night, you like make out with someone, you're like, oh, that was great. Like, I'm so glad I went. And like, I try to take that mindset again, like, this is a yoga combo, but like, it's not really as much physical for me. It's like the mental side where it's pretty cool that you can create your own reality with just what you think. And that's kind of what I take from a lot of it, that you can kind of just like be like, what am I not trying? Like the Jim Carrey movie, you seen that? Where he just starts saying yes, that where he says yes, man. He's just yes to everything.
That's what I was gonna say. I was like, are you sponsored by Nike? Right. Like, you're just do it. You're the just do it, man. Right. Yeah. Like, if you're gonna question yourself, just do it.
Yeah,
that's like your motto. So what's so actually, I had a question prepared for you about this. Like, what's some of the last things you attempted that you had like a high chance of failure? So I think like sometimes we don't throw ourselves, and exactly on this line, like we don't really throw ourselves into like, right, like, oh, going for that, like, you know, black diamond ski slope, like say you're skiing and you're like, you know what, I'm going to go try it. Yeah. Or like, you know, doing that, the stuff that has a high degree of failure, but not like death. Like, obviously, like, it's just like people need to be willing to play.
Right.
I mean, that's half of being playful, is like being willing to be vulnerable, being willing to say things that make you laugh, like that's vulnerability and playfulness, but it's all about testing out where you have failure technically. But like that's where you have to just be willing to throw yourself into things. Like maybe you could have hated the avocado burger, but you took a chance. Like, right. And that's like taking more chances. I think that's something we all need to do more.
Yeah, bit. I agree. I definitely don't have any crazy story like skydiving or anything nuts like that. I think when I just look at the last couple of years, like I said, 3 years, like, so I had like awesome life in Boston. Like I miss all my friends up there and worked with my family and like my sister has a couple of kids. I'm an uncle up there and I grew up in Boston and I know Boston. Boston was very comfortable. And there's actually a funny stat to go with this story. Like 80% of the people or 90% of the people in the world live within...
Hey.
Oh, Buddha.
Don't touch my TV, man.
Like 80, 90% of the people in the world live within a couple miles of like where they were born. And it's crazy to think that most... I was guilty of that. Like I was just like living in Boston and like grew up a couple towns over and like was like seeing my old friends. And so... one of the kind of risks I'd say is just like coming down here. I didn't know anyone. Just moved to Miami or Boca a little and was just like, I'll make it work. I had my family business. That's how I got into medical staffing though and started kind of a somewhat of a new career or a second business to go along with my family business. And it was just a pretty good risk in many senses, like a new city, new job, new friends, new apartment, like new everything. And just me and Buddha came down and I started in the park as a sense of normalcy of like not only a way to meet people, but a way to kind of like see what the community's about and see what different things is going on. Like there's so many different cool events from Coffee and Chill to Revive Social, just like different people that are doing what I want to do too, that have motivated me along the way, just like wellness events. And like you think Miami, you think like partying and like, right, there's like the social scene. But there's also a wellness scene of just like events and day beds and pool parties at hotels and like, you know, things that aren't necessarily based around alcohol. And I think it's proven there's a lot of people that want that.
Yeah, man. There's people who drink tea and stuff,
you know? Right? And play with...
yerba mate.
Play with musical instruments. On a Tuesday.
Yeah,
night.
Man. I think mocktails are big in Miami. People don't have to be healthy here. I think there's also a lot of temptation here, though, too. You know, like it's just like, but at the same time, if you prioritize, if you know your values and you contemplate, reflect upon your values, it'll guide you to the right crowds in Miami pretty easily. The other thing about, the way you teach yoga. So there's a lot of people who have yoga degrees and like, you know, putts around and putting on some events for free for friends and then just kind of lose their drive, right? What would you credit like your drive in yoga? Like what keeps you like loving it consistently? Like you're more than one out of 100 when it comes to like yoga teachers who are that consistent, right? So what do you credit your consistency to?
Well, I don't know how to explain it, but like when you find something that works is probably the best way I can put it. It's almost like a feeling. That's why I'm saying like I'm trying to verbalize it, but it's more, it's a feeling where you just like are connected or something again clicks and you're just like, oh, I feel home here. Like when I moved to Miami, I'm like, oh, I feel home here. Like when I started going to yoga, I was like, oh, I feel home here. It's like a good balance of people that work hard, play hard. Like, yeah, like let's stretch and exercise and eat well, but then let's also like go on crazy yoga retreats and travel and like go to music festivals. And like when you start to look at like, at least I thought like, oh, these hippies that do yoga, like whatever. Like, no, it's not like that at all. Like most of the people that I was at like 5 a.m., 6 a.m., going to yoga, it's like all successful people. And I love this stat too. They interviewed millionaires and they asked them daily traits they do. What do you think the number one trait they all said they did, like 90% of them, they all said they did this one thing. It was waking up early and exercising and doing some kind of like meditative, like whatever, like either like a yoga or the gym or just something where you're like pushing the mind and the body, like reading, but it's like waking up early and getting your day started. And so I started to look at like the yoga class when I'd go in the morning at this gym And it was like doctors and lawyers and like nurses and like all these just like successful people where you're like, oh, okay, like it's not really about, you know, hippies or my preconceived notions. It's like, oh, a lot of these people, before they go crush and they're like CEOs and like bosses at companies, they get their mind right and their body right. And, you know, hey, if it's good enough for some millionaires and billionaires, I was like, all right, I'll try it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's basically something that you said makes you feel at home. A big part of that is maybe, you know, you're owning your turf over there, Market Pace. Like, you know, it's like, it's a very well-located park, like right in the middle of Miami, like, you know, car-wise. And, like, you know, you feel fortified there. You feel like, I think you've blessed that turf. Like, you've almost made it your own. Like, it's very territorial, you know, like dogs go peeing around corners and everything. I think you, like, you've stuck your ground over there, dude. And it's like, respect, man. It's, like, it's a dope park to, like, you know, you're like the yoga, you know, healer of the park right now, dude.
No, I appreciate that. It's fun. It's cool to see, like, a following. Again, I started with like 5 people and now we're averaging like 100 every Monday night at 7 p.m. There you go. Do we plug that? Monday night, 7 p.m. Margaret Pace. And it is dope. It's my favorite night of the week. I've met all my best friends through this. And it's just a really cool thing to see now that, like, yeah, the yoga's cool. Like, I'd like to think I'm a good yoga teacher, but what the magic is like when yoga's done, like everyone just hangs out and chats and talks and meets people. And a lot of people are dating from my class, which is such a cool thing. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get ordained and marry you guys if you get married. But it's funny. It's just like a space to like meet new people. And like I wanted to kind of create when I came down here not knowing anyone. It's like, yeah, it's a great way to meet people. And now I see other people that are coming from New York, Boston, you know, Venezuela, Colombia, like wherever, all around the world, just coming here and not knowing anyone. And you start to know, like, every Monday night, there's a bunch of people coming together, you know, from all around the world. Like, I joke my classes are like the United Nations. Like, everyone's from a different place. And it's cool. Like, you put all of those differences aside and everyone just comes together and does yoga for an hour and hangs out and chats after. So it's a great way to definitely meet people and connect.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a great thing you're doing. So you're starting to do retreats. You have something that you're promoting, like surf yoga beer. Is that right?
Yep. So from there, the classes have grown. And I'm like, what do I do with this? Like, it was this fun little side hobby. And the classes have now turned into, you know, kind of a business where I started to do first these Manatee Island events, which are these local, like, paddleboard and kayak to an island. And we, like, snorkel and do a bunch of yoga, obviously. But it's like a beach party. It's like a bunch of activities and beach games and limbo and we've done chopped coconuts and catered lunch and a DJ and like a dance party. So it's, again, like a great way to meet people that's not based around alcohol. And it's from there, like, I'm kind of like, all right, that's like a fun like hour or two, like nice little like event, like a mini retreat, so to speak. But along my journey, I started along my training doing retreats internationally. And I got my 300 hour and my 500 hour in Tokyo and then also Greece. So
oh, wow.
I traveled a bunch to do these yoga retreats. And that's kind of where I met Surf Yoga Beer, just like it sounds. They lead these international yoga retreats. And it's, yeah, like you're partying, you're having fun. You're in your Ibiza or Greece or Italy, like, but you're also waking up and working out every single day. Like, it's like hikes to these mountains and incredible workouts, like overlooking the ocean, sometimes in the ocean and like swimming and like obviously surfing and daily surf lessons, and not something that traditionally people really get into, but we have like daily surf lessons, like daily wake up and get in the ocean and you have a professional with you, like teaching you how to catch waves. And obviously by noon, like you're eating some tacos and sometimes you're on a boat partying. So it's a great balance and kind of goes right with my brand where I said like the work hard, play hard part of yoga, where it's like, cool, you exercise, but it's also people that are like trying to better themselves physically and mentally and just spiritually and whatever in life, just like be better, do better than the average Joe. So that's what kind of surf yoga beer represents too, where it's like, get out of your average routine, book a retreat, go for a week, you know, leave the kids at home, leave the dog at home, like leave your routine at home, like whatever's insert excuse here of like, oh, I can't leave this, my work or whatever. It's like, just take a vacation. It's adult summer camp. You go for a week to Bali or Italy, or my favorite is Nicaragua we have coming up, where you just are like in the middle of the jungle with monkeys, and like I don't have my dog barking at me, and I get to kind of just take a break from my routine. So that's what surf yoga beer is about too. Have you done retreats yourself?
I did a lot of travel. When I was younger, I did like service trips with like big groups. But yoga wise, I've yet to actually do one. I know a lot of like my friend yoga teachers who have, you know, different retreats. I think it's like the new model for sure. Like retreats are what actually maybe pay the bills sometimes if you make them big enough, good enough. But like more importantly than that, those are like the peak experiences of the year that you plan for, organize for, you know. Your task is to really, you know, rock their world with like wellness, and you know, because it's expensive for what, and they only have most people have only so much vacation time, you know, if they're working hard and stuff. So that's where, you know, it's a big moment of their year that you're putting on.
Yeah, so, sometimes this is like the biggest trip of some people's lives. Like they get out of their routine where they're like have been saving up and they've always wanted to go to insert city here. We have South Africa, you know, we have a bunch of cool places from Ireland to Iceland, like that people their whole lives are like saving up thinking maybe one day. And then, yeah, you kind of book it and literally kind of a dream come true. I know I'm guilty of that. I always wanted to go to the Amalfi Coast and like Capri and like jump off the cliffs and do the Blue Grotto. And I did that this summer and it was check that off the bucket list. Like I was incredibly happy. It didn't matter what the price was. I would have paid 10 times the amount for just the energy I got from that trip, and like came back and was like, all right, what's my next kind of bucket list thing I want to do? Like, where's my next trip, or where's my next thing at home? Like, take that vacation energy, you know, like bring it home.
Yeah. Do you have any spots you recommend that for like locals, like a good Miami outing that's like, you know, for locals?
Well, that's a loaded question because...
Well, there's a lot of possibilities.
There's I'm into like the events of like coffee and chill, and April May Yoga does every Friday, 7 a.m. Not for everyone, but if you're a morning person, 7 a.m. there's like 300-400 people on the beach doing yoga. And it's fun. Everyone jumps in the ocean after and brings their dogs and hangs out. And like, to me, that's dope. Like, it's just like you leave there with like... connections. Like I've met so many good business connections there. Obviously like a couple dates, like it's just even just friends, like it's just cool to go and be around that many like-minded people that are waking up at 6-7 a.m. to do yoga and watch the sunrise on the beach. So, you know, you haven't lived till you've jumped in the ocean and like you're just there at 7 a.m. You have your whole day ahead of you. You don't gotta be to the office or your desk till 9 a.m. and you're just living. Like instead of, I used to be someone that would kind of sleep in and like roll out of bed 10 minutes before work, and now I wake up at like 5 a.m.
and what changed that? It was yoga.
Yeah, 100%. Like I started seeing again like all these successful people around me and like just starting their day right. And I know when I looked at my day and analyzed during yoga teacher training, they have you really look at like your life and what you're doing with your time, and like after 10 p.m. I don't mean doing really anything productive. It's like a lot of like Facebook, Instagram, like scrolling, maybe ESPN, checking the internet, like the news, but it wasn't really as productive as I started to wake up at 5 and arise with the sun, that like the Ayurvedic approach. And like whenever the sunrise was, like wake up with that and like base my life around like the mornings. And I was
that.
Incredibly productive. Like I would go to the gym, I would steam, I would like lift, I would run like a mile or two, I'd walk my dog, I would check the news, do my Facebook, do my emails, whatever, like Instagram. And then I'd look at my watch and it would be like 8:32. Like I'm like, oh Jesus, well, I have my whole fucking day ahead of me. Like, can we swear on here? Is this cool?
Yeah, man. It's all good, man. It'll be explicit.
Yeah, so it's like, it was crazy. It was just like being able to see how much more productive I was. And it almost was like a cheat code. Like you just started having so much more. Like when I get to 9 a.m. and do my morning meetings, I run a sales team. I would just see, like, I was ahead of the curve. Like, people were just getting in, just kind of checking their emails, just getting to things. Like, I was up for, I had 3 hours on them. I had my whole morning and getting to the leads first. I was calling deals first, calling hospitals first, like, calling clients first. It was like, I wasn't doing anything crazy. I was waking up earlier. So, for me, and I recommend for a lot of people, and like they say, 90% of millionaires, and like, if you want a base monetary success, you know, they wake up early and they start attacking the day.
Attack the day. Yeah, it's very athletic. It's very, you know, honorable, you know, being a go-getter, basically taking care of first things, you know, as soon as possible. It's just being a good person, you know, and I think, you know, having your priorities straight. So that pays dividends in all aspects of life, obviously. So,
well, not only that, but like, I think, It's so if you're not a morning person, like I've almost gotten away from that. Like, I don't wake up as much at 5, like more towards like the 6, 6:30. Like, if you want to call that sleeping in, like I'll if my body needs it, like, sleep in. But I think it's, again, a mindset of just attacking your day. So even if you're, you know, doing nighttime stuff, a lot of people I know, my friends and successful people, are like musicians and what have you, or day traders that like are looking at the stock market stuff, like a lot of them are spending like midnight, 1, 2 a.m. like looking at world markets and research, and some people do their best work at night. But my point and what I took from yoga was like, it's just about attacking the day. It's about like not being like, one day
are you trying
I'll
to fight
do
the
this.
Day?
Punch wrong, the day man. In the face, bro. It's
like, the day is not your friend.
Or the day's gonna punch you in the face. It's kind
of
like,
can we be friends with the day?
Can be friends, but I think it's more like, one day this, one day I'll do this, one day I'll start a podcast, one day I'll start yoga, one day I'll take a vacation, one day I'll be happy. It's like, no, or like, today's day fucking one. And like, today is like, what are we going to do today to take realistic steps? And I think from what I've seen, at least from my experience, like, that's the difference between an average person, I don't want to be average, and like an above average person. It goes back to like that first class I took. Are you going to be average today or above average?
What about your first week or two of teaching at Market Pace? Were there ever days where there's like only one person or no one?
I've been pretty lucky. I started with my friends there. Like, when I first came, I walked Buddha, and like, at least I didn't start the class till like 3-4 months in. And from I had at least 5 people, like 10 people that I like invited, and that I either met through walking my dog or playing sports in the park. But no, I kind of always had 5 or 10, and then it somewhat grew like wildfire. Or the best thing was, I would do Wednesday mornings, and everyone was always like, oh, I would come, but you know, mornings are tough, I have work, or you know, mornings are tough. Like, it was always like, I don't want to say an excuse, but again, when I'd invite people, like 9 out of 10 people like, oh, I love yoga, I'll come. And then you get the once in a while that are like, oh, I don't really like yoga. And I never understood that. Just stretching and hanging out, like, it's not really like, so I get the if you think you're meditating in like a,
you know, deep, most Americans don't stretch at
right.
all.
But it's
like
it's just stretching. It's a stretch.
Yeah, but not everyone. Like, once you stop stretching, you kind of like, you know, you kind of get it out of you stop doing it, feeling the joy of it. It starts to like be, you know, something that brings anxiety for some people, like who don't have flexibility. So it is a sort of game that you're in or you're not. When you're in the game, you feel amazing,
right?
You're just like on clouds. But like, some people are just out of that game, so they don't even know what it feels like. And so they're scared of it a little bit.
Yeah.
I got to say right now, I'm in a mode of my life where I'm doing very little yoga, actually. Like, so little that it's like maybe twice a month sometimes. Like, I'm like, I kind of ditched it.
Well, I've learned yoga can be many things too. Like, it's not just like, do you go to a studio? Do you go to a class? It's more like, do you move the mind, body, and soul every day? Like, do you do something where you're like getting physical? Like, did you leave your apartment? A lot of us work from home. It's like, or if you don't have a dog, it's like, yeah, what did you do today? Like, did you move? Like, did you get physical? Like, I don't know. Just
because that
you look at Americans, a lot of Americans don't exercise.
No, yeah. And when you exercise, you basically get, you know, you supercharge the now because you're just in like, you know, fight or flight. Like, you're in performance mode. Like, so your brain, like your thought, anxious thoughts slow down just by being active.
I'm a better human when I exercise.
So basically, I think you do have to do a certain amount of yoga to like, you know, clear the brain, clear the mind, or a certain amount of exercise, period. But I'd say yoga is one of the best because it integrates the balance, like finding balance and concentration, and then guiding your attention span, like being in control somewhat. So that's where yoga is probably the easiest thing available to anyone to kind of like enter the now, right?
And
like,
well, yeah, and you said you kind of made the joke where you were like, oh, do we fight the day or do we really punch the day? It's like, I think like, I don't want to say that again, the average person, but like, yeah, like the, if you ask 9 out of 10 people in a room, I think a lot of them would say they're not really chasing their dreams or doing their dream job. It's like, oh, I fell into being an accountant, or like, oh, I'm doing my safe, I'm a lawyer, like, or whatever. Like, and a part of what I have found, it's like, yeah, like chase and go after that side thing, that side hobby, that side project, that thing you've always wanted to do. It's like, if you believe you really only live once, like, I don't want to be 80 or 90 and be like, oh, I wish I tried starting a yoga class in the park. I wonder what that would be like. It's like, at least I tried. That was my theme for New Year's this year. It's like, this is the year of trying. Like, whether we like it or we don't like it, like, we're going to try it. We're going to find out. Like, we're going to find out. We're going to at least, like, answer, scratch that itch and that question of, like, oh, what have I been wanting to try? Or, like, should I get this new job? Or, like, should I move? Or insert, whatever you want to do here. It's like, let's find out this year. So
let's find out this year. Yeah, I think that's like setting an ultimatum on yourself for things, and like, questioning whether you're really putting the anxiety, putting like the indecision aside. Like, definitely indecision is one of the worst like feelings like a human could feel. It's just like, you don't feel secure. You don't feel like you have guidance, mostly because you probably haven't asked for enough help about it, right? And, like, taking cue. But like, definitely indecision is a terrible place to be. So you're calling your message this year is to like call people out of indecision and maybe take action, right, on like some things that have been, in their heads for a while. But like, how do you take action? You have to, sometimes setting, a ritual is very powerful. That's why like your consistency is mostly because of, you have two slots that you really, you mentally, refresh yourself, in between, right? You don't feel like it runs your life. Right, you feel in control of it because you have two spots that you perform at, right? Essentially, so you've simplified the game for yourself, and I think we can more simplify it for ourselves, setting up those moments where we do perform or like commit, or like for you, it's like you're driven into it because there's people who expect you to be there now, like, right? So you're kind of like you're sucked in, but when you're on the outskirts, like looking into the pond of like creative, activities, you're just kind of like tipping your toe and you're like, But like, well, you have to just like find, the ritual in it, I think. Like the days where you would work on it realistically and then find support, right?
Right. I think people see the consistency, like I'm out there every week and then like I'm doing these events and like even my growth. Like, I don't know, I like supporting local small businesses and I like to think I'm that, and people are like supporting me and coming to my events and coming out every week, and there's lots of different classes to do in Miami and they're coming to mine, and it's really cool to see that. But it's, again, like, the yoga principles I've learned are transferable to really anyone. Like, you see, it's about like doing something hard or something that you thought was impossible. Like, maybe it's holding a plank, or it's just like touching your toes, or like holding your leg behind your neck. Like, everyone's got a different level of athleticism, but like, you can do it. Like, you just need to try it. It's like, no one's better than you. They've just been doing it a little bit longer, like stretching longer. Like,
do you have a best metric for like wellness? Like, if you had to pick a metric for wellness, what would you say?
I would say, like, not only are you just like physically able to do stuff you want to do, like whether it's like picking stuff up or running or just whatever, but like mentally too. Like, mental health is very important. Like you can be someone that might have muscles, but like if you're going home and you're sad every day, are you healthy? I wouldn't say so. So like, when you say like someone that's like, your metrics are like, health can be looked at from like many points of view. Like, I go back and I've used this phrase a couple times in this convo, like mind, body, soul. Like, that's again the basic principles of yoga, where like you're trying to connect the three. So it's not just about like, oh, can I run a mile? Or like, oh, I'm really smart, I can like run book, like read books, or like I go to church a bunch, or like I just whatever, like watch a bunch of documentaries. But it's like, can you marry like all of them like together and find this like equilibrium between like life? Like, I think the stresses of the day-to-day bills, like we all have bills in reality, and you know, money's a real thing, but at the same time, like, can you just be happy? That's, I think, the goal of life. And like, that to me is what being rich is. Like, can you just be happy? So I also saw that from these like yoga people and these successful people in the morning when I started going. It was like, yeah, not like they had it figured out. Cause I grew up in a nice town. Like, I was lucky. My parents were well off, and we grew up in like an affluent area, and like everyone's parents were very successful, but like not everyone's parents were as happy. And like, I really saw that. It was like, oh wait, but they live in this mansion and he drives a Mercedes. And like, how is Mr. Johnson not happy? And like, no, it's like money doesn't mean anything unless you're happy. So, or it doesn't, you know, bring happiness. So I definitely at least have a different perspective on money and really like push that in my class, where it's like, you want to do something, do it. Like, you know, you want to switch jobs, do it. You want to save up for the big trip, like, do it. Like, it's not that hard. Like, cut back here or there and like get an extra job, maybe like save money and like do something if you want to do it.
You're saying like, instead of having, it's more doing, right? Like taking action in your life. That's what makes us happiest. So it's easy to have a lot of possessions, and then now, you know, bills and like inflated necessities, to the point where you're like running around like a chicken with your head cut off from all the stress of it all, right? And like, right, the social games of blah blah blah, and like, so yeah. That's where I guess the way out of that, you're saying, is like, just by taking action. If it means exploration, that's great. If it means in your wellness and fitness goals, that's one thing. And then if it's in your creative endeavors and like, you know, growing as an artist in different ways, like there's so many ways to grow, but it all entails action and doing. And that's where the alternative is to focus on the having, right?
Right.
Versus the doing. Like, doing, for sure, is much more powerful.
Yeah, and I think you find peace, at least I did, and I think a lot of yogis do, in, like, being present. Like, you hear that term a lot. Like, be present, be in the now. And, like, it really is how you kind of conquer, like, my grandfather had a funny saying. It was, like, anxiety or stressing is, like, such a stupid thing. Because, like, let's say, all right, you're worried about something, right? It could go right or it could go wrong. So what do? We worry about it. And he'd be like, that's the stupidest thing you could do. Because let's say it goes right. Then it's like, well, wait, why did I just waste all that time worrying? That was a waste of time, you dummy. And then he'd laugh and he'd be like, but then if it goes wrong, then you'll worry, right? But if you ended up worrying then and you worried before, now you worried twice. Why would you do that? Why would you worry twice about something? You just added double the stress to your life. So, you know, kind of, he would say it in a joking manner, but that stuck with me, really, where it's like just being present and like whatever's meant to be is meant to be, and like trusting the process and, you know, being, again, like a good person and working hard and like trusting like good things will come your way, I think is kind of like the way to approach life. And like, instead of stressing about stuff, like control what you can control and like enjoy every day. And like, who knows what, maybe something happens and like this could be the worst thing that ever happened to you. Or how do you know? You can't read the future. I can't predict the future. Maybe it ends up being a blessing in disguise, right? We've all had those where it's like all of a sudden something happens. You're like, oh, thank God I broke up with that person. Or, you know, thank God I ended up like moving and I lost that job, or I got fired, or I whatever, like insert here, where you're like, oh, I wish I didn't want to do that. But it ended up being like one of the best things that happened to you. So my avocado cheeseburger story.
Yeah, well, always like, it's always how you see things, you know. So you have to learn to see things as positively and as efficiently and as possible, so that, you know, you take things in stride and you keep learning and growing, and then open to abundance of the universe, right? I mean, that's where, yeah, of course, there's tons of opportunities in the future that are way better for you that you can, you know, attract to yourself and gravitate towards,
right,
just based on doing your best and, you know, having the right mentality where you are. And so that's where, you know, you have to also ask for help sometimes. And that's where I think that's where you get the most anxiety or worry, is mostly when you don't like let it go to somebody or God, or say, you know what, I'm going to do my best and let it go. And like, whatever's meant to be shall be. Like, that's, you have to have a flip a switch sometimes and just say, I'm going to ask for help from, you know, show me what I should do, whatever. Like, you know, you just like you feel what you should do, and then if there's nothing, you just let it go.
Well, we know one thing. If you don't try, the answer is always no. So it's like, at least, you know, give it a shot. Check it out.
So what's your biggest stretch goal of 2025? You're going to put it on stage for here. Yeah, you said we got to try new things.
So I have a lot of goals. So, but to kind of go back to that last point, I about trying things and being open to things, I have a kind of a good story that happened the other day. So my cousin Mark.
Should we let him back in? He's like, really? Why?
I think she'll just like whine inside too. So
I'll leave
you with this story. So the Buddha.
Buddha, all right, yeah. Buddha's got to end the show. Okay, yeah. Buddha's welcome right. for the end of the show.
Hold on, Buddha, stay. So yeah. My cousin Mark, great guy. He was this really successful New York banker. He moved to this little village outside in China. It was like called Kawangalong Bupei, like this little like island village in China. But it was great. He had a great, like, great house, went out on a boat, like was their director of like North American banking, but had to work out of China. Got paid to move there, like really successful, great guy. His life got cut short, and he passed away years ago though. But shout out Mark. So from there, listen to this story. You almost wouldn't believe it. This goes along with the trying and the avocado cheeseburger kind of concept. So I'm out to eat the other day. I'm like waiting at a bar to like meet my date at this this like Asian Chinese restaurant almost, and Komodo. And it was like this seating where there was a couple spots and one guy sitting at the end, and then there was really no like two spots for me and my date. So I kind of said to this person, I was like, can you, you know, maybe bump down one seat, like, so I can, you know, sit. It was just nice. I bought him a beer. He was like, no problem, and like moved down and telling me, like, he was just like, so just like a chill, like nice guy. Some people would be like, no, or I don't, I'm in the middle of eating, or just, he was like, no problem, I'll bump down. So a couple minutes go by, and I could have been in my phone and scrolling. What do we all do? We just kind of look on our phones and text and live our life in our phones. But I kind of looked to this guy and started just shooting shit. And I just was like, let me buy you a beer. Thanks for moving down. Like, you know, he was speaking Chinese and Mandarin to the waiter. So I started talking to him about that. And I was like, oh, how you must know what to get. Like, you know, what should you order? What should I order? You sound like a pro. And
oh shit!
Oh, the green coffee tea down, tea down.
Oh,
that's what happens having a big pity. So
all right, let's get to the punch.
So the waiter and him started talking again in Chinese, and then he starts bragging. He's like, I lived in China for a couple years. He's like, I lived in Kawangalong Bupei, this little village. And I was like, wait, that's where my cousin lived. I was like, nah, did you know this guy named Mark Spitzer?
I did. All right, you told me this at the yoga too.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Did you tell it to every class, or you take a break class?
No.
So your guy, you knew him. So that's one of the synchronicities I was mentioning before, that you like, all right, end your punchline. I'm sorry I ended up telling you, dude.
No, that's it. Right, you heard it. It's like we ended up like he knew my cousin, and like it was crazy. So he like knew my cousin, and it was pretty cool to see, you know, just by talking to a stranger or just trying something, or like instead of having my phone down or like looking at my phone, like just talking, being like, oh, hey, what's up? Or like, what should I try? Kind of like was the spirit of the combo. Like, what should I order? And he just started talking. And so I aim everyone to do that this year. He asked me what my New Year's resolution is. Like, that's kind of my goal this year, just to like talk to more people, try new things, and like see where it leads me.
Yeah, experiment. Do you have a favorite resource as a yoga teacher for like ideas, new moves, or just like new flows? Like any sources of inspiration for you?
Yeah, going to different classes. A couple of the things I mentioned. Everything from like soul yoga to April May on the beach. That's kind of where I call it a compliment, when you kind of like, you know, you steal other teachers' like moves or some sequences. Like, you have to definitely keep practicing. Like, there were some weeks that went by when I first moved down here, I was just teaching so much and like building this Buddha Bear business that like I didn't always do yoga myself. It would be like a basic stretch in the morning, but not like a full hour class that I really like or enjoy or need. So I definitely like try to go and take as many classes as possible. Like Mimi Studio, there's a bunch of studios down here, Wynwood Yoga, and just go and like be a student of the game. And like the more classes you take from like YouTube or whatever, like you just, every class, at least from my teacher brain, you like take something and you pull it and you're like, oh, I'll try that. Or I could add my right arm here instead of my
left arm.
Do you think
there's a lot of guys who are still scared of doing yoga? Or like, do you think it's pretty much 50-50 now, or like your classes? Or how would you describe, what's your word for the dudes out of Miami who could maybe come by your...
Well, I would say this, you want to meet someone like a nice girl like that like takes care of herself and will take care of you, like yeah, you come to yoga. Like it's also a very accepting space, and like you meet all kind of like-minded and at the same time like different-minded people that just are accepting. But no, for the guys, it's just like I look at like the Tom Brady effect. Like he was all about this, like eating right, stretching, and he didn't like do this like heavy weightlifting necessarily. Like it was a combo of everything. And like I think stretching is like something like ancient Asian studies have shown, like Qigong, and people, if you've seen, just kind of like touch their shoulders or touch their toes, like as they get in their 60s and 70s, like studies have shown you have like less heart issues, less back problems. Like it's not rocket science, like just move well and put good things in your body and you'll feel really good. So guy or girl, I think that's something that everyone should kind of come out and be a part of.
Yeah, I think it's appealing to the ego of men, you know, to want to like improve themselves and, you know, their health, and just like, you know, sometimes it's like the good part of ego, you know, like having, you know, self-respect to be your best, and then understand stretching is a big part of that actually and worth doing. Do you have any last suggestions for like cool characters in Miami?
Cool what?
To host, like other cool people in Miami that are good leaders of Miami characters.
Yeah, there's a bunch. So somebody that I can shout out, I think you spoke with her last time or a couple times ago, Shay Williams. She's great. She's like a girl who's a veteran, and she, shout out Shay, like thank you for your service. First off, she crushes life and now is like leading this wellness business, like just like doing all kind of events, and she's really cool and accepting about like just trying different ideas. She's done everything from like brunch events to happy hour events to Pilates to like fitness festivals. Like she's just like always trying different things. She's always like growing, and her crowd is very different and unique and blended, and it's really dope to see someone like that, like me, that she's somewhat new, only been doing it down here I think like a year, and she's been crushing. Another big influence has been Lucy, who started Coffee and Chill here. She just grinds. Like she's taken that social media to the next level. She's done every cool event here, from like Hoya Beach to, I think they've done all kind of hotels, like the, I'm forgetting the name of it in South Beach, but the Deck, the Swan, there you go, Swan. She's done all kind of just like any venue in Miami. She's taken this Coffee and Chill thing. They sell out 500 tickets in like 5 minutes. Like she's a great example of someone who you can start something and you see like there's people out there that want this, that like not just partying in a nightclub, like they want to come together. What's the other one? Space. If you've been to Space 420, yoga is cool, but they also have Space. It's like 9 a.m. It's like a day morning party where people are sleeping and waking up and going there at like 9 a.m.
That's the move.
Yeah, it's like, so like I see that and I'm like, all right, Miami, like that's the energy we need. Like, yeah, it's not just like cool, don't get me wrong. Like I enjoy some wine, or like we'll go out to some nice dinners or go to a club once in a while, but like I'm just not finding as much, you know, enjoyment out of that. But I do enjoy that side. But like for me, what's dope is like people dancing on the beach and jumping in the ocean and a DJ and meeting and like doing all this, like, and feeling good. And like you get a good workout in, and it's not just like, I don't know. I know I make some bad decisions after a beer or two, so I feel like it's just like a good place all around to start your day or include in your weekend. Like, yeah, let's include a yoga class. Let's include a fitness thing, a Coffee and Chill, or...
Yeah, it's really those events in the mornings, like, you know, locked in, secure, like you're like, you know, you trust it. And like that allows you to maybe have a, you know, quieter, earlier night than usual. Like you're not like chasing things out in the nightlife. You know, you're satisfied where you are. You know, you go out, you know, when it's good enough, basically. But you basically prioritize, you know, you're, you know, just being steady in your life and where you need to be. And, you know, having those amazing morning gatherings is half the reason, like, it becomes possible to live that way. Like, and still have some excitement of being in, you know, new situations with, you know, new potential to meet people. Like, I feel like sometimes, you know, you can be an introvert all you want, but at some point we want to be surrounded by some new faces every day, you know, like new possibilities to connect. I think like it's really healthy for us, like to feel like we're not, you know, stuck and never like, we're not just in a rut, like, you know,
right.
Just seeing new faces. And that's why I think your yoga is great, because like there's definitely new faces every time. You get plenty of new faces. So, but I think some people are lacking that simple, you know, metric of just like how many new faces.
Yeah, in human connection, my friend Lucy from Coffee and Chill says this, where she'll say there's like a loneliness pandemic, especially after COVID. Like a lot of people just got used to like being home, being on the internet, you know, working on Zoom, texting people, no longer like, you know, either making calls or FaceTime calls, right? Like who even makes phone calls anymore? Like that's such almost like an outdated thing. But like, just like that human connection of like, yeah, let's see each other, let's go out. Like, as, especially as we get older, you don't go out as much as the average human doesn't go out as much as when you're younger. And that's what I kind of love about Miami. Like, I'm starting to feel like my schedule's packed. Like, I have so much, like, health and wellness and paint night and comedy night and now the weekends, the go out to dinners and, yeah, party and have a fun night at the club, but then wake up and have, like, five fitness things to go to the next day because all my friends are fitness people and it's just like a lot going on from like, what's one of my favorite ones? There's Tony Thomas. He does like an earn your brunch thing or like a beat the gym where like it's an incredible workout. Like you're sweating, but then after it's like a little mix and you're eating brunch and you're eating bacon and having a mimosa. And so it's, I've actually started to do some earn your brunches because it's like a great concept of like, yeah, like that's what we all want. Like, let's have a good full morning, like work out, eat a bunch, meet some new friends, like exercise, change your mindset a little. Like that's a full morning. So I know to me, like enjoy that more than like, oh, I went to a club and like had a bunch of drinks, feel like crap the next morning, kind of don't really remember half the night before. Like, I don't know. I just have found enjoyment in more, what do they call it? Day parties.
No, you're just getting smarter about, you know, your health, longevity, of, you know, basically enjoying life and not feeling those hangovers.
Yeah, right. I'm done
being smarter about those. Yeah. Living more exalted.
For sure.
So that's awesome, man. Well, it's been a lot of fun hosting you, man. Yeah, I first met you at that class. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to ask you on the pod one of these days. Just wait for it.
I love it. I like, appreciate it.
No, you're, hey, just keep doing what you're doing, man. Like you're growing and you have, you know, dreams of like being like full time yoga or, you know, wellness. And like, that's inspiring for a lot of entrepreneurs out there. Do you have any last words of wisdom for like, you know, other entrepreneurs who are almost at where you're at, like you're a bit ahead, like you
just try it. Like, especially if people are calling you crazy or if you're calling yourself crazy, like the best things in the world have come from people being crazy. Like you look at like even who the dudes that invented flying, the Wright brothers, like they're like crazy, right? These people looked at them like, you can't fly, like you're crazy, man. Like, what are you doing? You can't fly up there at the bird. Like you can't fly. You're crazy. They're flying all over the world. So it's like, who's crazy now? It's like, so I kind of leave people with that where it's like, try that kind of crazy thing. Like be that kind of risk taker. And next thing you know, you're flying.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you have to lose? Assuming you're not jumping off like a cliff or something, you know?
Totally. Don't literally jump, right.
Don't jeopardize all your finances for this project, but do give yourself a budget of like, $100 a week or something, like,
totally,
you know, like put some money into marketing, have fun with it. Like that's what people aren't doing, is those small little gambles. Just like, because most people don't have encouragement. It takes encouragement, you know, a good supportive family and friends to kind of even take the risk of some of these personal endeavors. Because like, you know, they're a little more, you know, personal than like losing money in the stock market or something. It's right. Like you're betting on yourself. Some people are just so scared of that. What if it doesn't go well? I feel like a failure. Blah, 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 blah. But honestly, you just have to have
find out.
Have faith that you're at least like having fun learning lessons.
You're not a failure if you follow your dreams.
And it will work out with persistence. It's bound to.
So I'll see you guys Monday night, 7 p.m. And then Manatee Island Yoga, the first Saturday.
That's the new series
of every month.
Ongoing series.
The first Saturday of every month.
We got right, I got to come to one of those.
Paddleboard, kayak to an island. And then surf yoga beer, yoga retreats we're doing where you want. Nicaragua, Bali, Italy.
Oh, do a poll. You should do a survey.
Iceland.
Let's get a survey on the pod. I'll have a survey on the pod. We'll do a survey. People can enter the places they
want
to do.
Where else you want? Where else you want? New Zealand? We got them all.
It's not all about escaping, man. Gotta enjoy Miami as well.
Namaste.
Namaste.